ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। ओम नमो भगवते श्री दक्षिणामूर्ति स्वरूपाय श्री दयानंद रूपाय परम गुरवे परमात्मने परब्रह्मणे सच्चिदानंद रूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादि हेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयम् नमः। यस्माज्जातं जगत् सर्वं यस्मिन्नेव प्रलीयते येनेदं धार्यते चैव तस्मै ज्ञानात्मने नमः। ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम। कृष्ण यजुर्वेदीये तैत्तिरीयोपनिषदि शिक्षावल्याम् एकादशः अनुवाकः। वि कम्प्लीटेड् एक अनुवाक। नौ बिफोर् एण्टरिङ्ग् इन् टु द द्वादश अनुवाक वि आर् सीयिङ्ग् दिस् शङ्कर भगवत्पाद फेवरेट् सब्जेक्ट् मेटर् आफ् refuting the view of karmakandis, and we saw in the previous class they hold on to certain views that karma itself is enough to attain moksha. There's no requirement of jnanam at all. This is the one view. They also have the view of knowledge can be the means of the attainment of moksha, but knowledge must have the support of the karma. So where jnanam becomes priority, jnanam is a pradhanam. So it is said to be jnana pradhana or vidya pradhana. Jnana karma samuchayavadaha. And they also say, now the karma is important. The karma with jnanam can be the means of attainment of moksha, where karma pradhana jnana karma samuchayaha is discussed. And finally, this another view, which is not their view, it is actually jnanam itself independently a means of attainment of moksha, which is established by Shankara Bhagavatpada. It is the timeless vision of the Shastram, which Shankara Bhagavatpada reinforced and brought to light again. It's not Shankara Bhagavatpada's new discovery. This has been the timeless vision and wisdom of the Upanishads. The jnanam itself is the means of attainment of moksha, because jnanam itself is moksha. Jnanam and moksha are identical. Because the whole samsara is purely because of erroneous perception caused by ignorance, ajnanam. Anyway, so this we are seeing. The last class, let us go to the... We just started this last class, I think. Yes. When Shankara Bhagavatpada refuted their view that mere karma can serve as a means of attainment of moksha by following the karma plan of karmakandis, and we saw that moksha being timeless, everlasting, which happens to be the very nature of the reality, Brahma. Brahma, the absolute reality, happens to be one's own Swarupam. Moksha is one's own Swarupam. And moksha is not something to be attained, something to be discovered. This we have been seeing for a long time. Out of every text we do, we understand this fact. Moksha implying fullness of happiness is the swarupam of the reality Brahma. The reality Brahman is one's own essential nature. Reality Brahma is the very truth of every being here. Therefore, this happiness, the fullness of happiness implied by the term moksha, freedom, is already there as the swarupam of every individual. It's already available for recognition as one's own truth, one's own essential nature. It is not that one is not, that one does not have happiness. Happiness is already there, always there, as the very unchangeable nature of every individual. What prevents one from enjoying this moksha, which is already there, is the ignorance of what happiness is. Ignorance of one's own essential nature, one's own self. So in discovering one's own self, one can claim, one can take ownership of happiness, the everlasting happiness, the freedom, which is already there as one's own nature, which is the attainment of moksha, which we have been studying in different texts, we have been understanding this. It's not something new for us. But still, there are people who hold on to their own views, especially Vedavadarathaha, Karmakandinaha. So by refuting their views, pointing out their the logical fallacies in their views is for us to ascertain, for reinforcing our own understanding that jnanam itself is moksha. So when is it moksha cannot be the result of any action? Moksha cannot be attained a result of karma. Nebhagavada refuted. Then we saw the next view he was seeing, started seeing that. Evam tarhi vidya savyapekshebhyaha karmabhyaha mokshaha syat. This is the next view. I'm not repeating what all we saw in the last class. Very clearly we understood the logical fallacy in his view. What was his karma plan? Let us avoid all pratishuddha karmas. Let us avoid all karma karmas. By avoiding karma karmas, we can avoid accumulating punyam. By avoiding prohibited actions, pratishuddha karmas, we can avoid accumulating papams. If we perform nityamittika karmas, we can avoid accumulating pratyavaya papa. And parabdha karma will be exhausted in this janma. So we will not have any karma in our account. We follow this karma plan. Then, if karma is not there in our account, then we will not be born again. So birth, rebirth, being born again is samsara, being bound by samsara, and having karma palani in one's account is the means, is the cause for being born again. If you follow this karma plan, then you can avoid the rebirth. You can become, get in freedom. So there's no requirement of jnanam at all. This was the argument and we understood very well. He only thought about avoiding the agami karma. He only thought about exhausting the power of the karma. Purupashi did not think of the remaining, the huge bundle of sujita karma, which has been accumulated from time immemorial. still one will have Sanchita Karma. And the next set of Parabdha will be ready from Sanchita Karma, so birth, rebirth cannot be avoided. Again, it is impossible to avoid totally Karma Karmas. The maximum if we consciously live a life of Dharma, we can avoid only Pratishuddha Karmas, not the Karma Karmas. Again, Nityanamittika Karmas, when performed, definitely will produce some punyam. And that punyam also will be there. So, accumulation of agami karma, agami punyam will be unavoidable. We'll also have Sanchita Karma. Therefore, rebirth will not be, cannot be avoided, if it's, even if you follow this karma plan. Therefore, moksha will not be possible. One continue to be bound even if you follow this karma plan, there's no moksha. So mere performance of rituals without the requirement of jnanam cannot be the means of attainment of moksha. This was negated. And again, if at all karma produces moksha phalam, and that moksha phalam will be time-bound moksha, because time-bound moksha, and the moksha that is desired, desirable, is actually everlasting moksha. If the moksha has to last forever, it cannot have a beginning also. So this timeless freedom cannot be the result of the time-bound action, which is dependent on time-bound accessories, known as karakani. Therefore, and we also know any karma being time-bound, being dependent on time-bound accessories, definitely produces any result which is time-bound in nature. In our experience, we understand this. And logically also, we can say time-bound action cannot produce timeless freedom. And time-bound freedom is not something which is desired. The whole effort is not for attaining something time-bound. We're aspiring for the timeless freedom. And of course, Shruti also says very clearly that mokshaha can be attained only through jnanam. Because bondage is caused by jnanam, moksha can be attained only through, only by jnanam. Shrutihi anubhavaha yuktihi. Reasoning, Purapakshi's view is not acceptable, okay? Because Shruti Pramanam, Yukti Pramanam, the reasoning as a means of knowledge, if we use Ashruti as a means of knowledge, our own experience as a means of knowledge, when used, definitely Purapakshi's view is non-acceptable. It is wrong. It is fallacious. It is wrong view. Okay. Now we are going to the next view of Purapakshi. Evam tarhi vidya savya pekshe bhya karma bhya moksha syat. Now Purapakshi jumps to another. When he was refuted, he understood that he understood his own error, but still he cannot give up karma. So he says, okay, if then moksha is possible, okay, through the karma combined with knowledge. Which means what? Vidya savyapekshebhyah karmabhyah. Still karma, he wants karma. Moksha rises as a result of, it is from karma combined with the knowledge. Vidya sahitanam cha karmanam bhavet karyantara arambha samarthyam. He says, vidya sahitanam cha karmanam samarthyam bhavet. The karmas have the capacity are producing something unique when they are combined with the knowledge. Vidya sahitanam cha karmanam karyantara aramba samartyam. Karyantara aramba samartyam. They are capable of producing something different. Because they are not simply karma, they are combined with the jnanam. Yatha, I give an example also. Yat swataha marana jwaradi karyaramba samarthanam api vishuddhyadinam mantra shakkaradi sayuktanam karyantararamba samarthyam. Example is given. What example given here? Visham, vishaha and dadhi. What is the visha? What does the visha do? Visha means poison. The poison by itself can definitely cause death. We are all cautious of poison because poison causes death. Visham can cause the maranam. Vishaha can cause maranam. Dadhi, yogurt, the curd also, it is eaten, sometimes can cause, you know, cold and cough. Or fever, especially not all yogurt, especially when the milk milked from the newly the cows, the delivered calves newly, and those fresh milk of the mothers, young mothers, mother cow, the calves are very new. That milk, when you boil it, it will get curdled, and sometimes it causes some sort of the fevers of some people. But it is said, if we mix that poison, okay, so maranam becomes a medicine. The poison which can cause death becomes medicine. If the poison is sanctified with some chant, special mantra chants, and they give it as a medicine. Poison having the power of mantras can given with the mantra chants, and it turns to be a relieving, the medicine, serves the medicine. The same way, this yogurt also, dadhi, the curd also, which eat taken independent by itself causes fever. But sharkaradi sayuktam, when it is mixed with jaggery, or sugar, when something is honey, etc., then it doesn't cause. It produces different result. So, that's an example he gives. Swataha maranajwaradi karyaramba samarthanam api vishadadhyadinam mantra sharkaradi sayuktanam karyantararamba samarthyam. So, just as this poison and yogurt, etc., when combined with the respective things such as mantra chant, the poison, and jaggery with the yogurt and mixed, produces completely different result. Karyantra aramba samarthyam. They have the capacity of producing something, a different result. Evam, in this manner, Vidya sahitehi karma bihi mokshaha arabhyate. In this manner, Vidya sahitehi karma bihi, but these karmas combined with the knowledge, mokshaha is begun. You mean what? Mokshaha is produced. Iti chet, arabhyate iti chet. See, moksha can be produced or attained by karmas combined with knowledge. Is it not possible? Iti chet means if we present a view in this manner, why can't we say? We can say this is a Purupakshis, again another view. This is the next contention, next view of a Purapakshi, a Karma Khandi. It means karma has the support of the jnanam. So karma having the support of knowledge definitely can produce a new result in terms of mokshaha. This is his argument. Then what is Shakrabhupada's answer? Na. The answer is what? Na. Arabhyasya. Anityatvat iti uktaha doshaha. Definitely not. Na means definitely not. Karma combined with the jnanam also cannot be the means of attainment of moksha because arabhyasya. See, the word arabhyam means anything which has been begun is arabhyam. Any product is something which has a beginning. So arabhyasya anityatvat. Arabhyam, anything which has been begun means any product which has a beginning definitely will have an end. So arabhyasya anityatvat. As anything produced, anything which has been begun, anything which has been produced is of the nature of, is subject to time. Subject to time. Anityatvat, subject to time limitation. And moksha being everlasting, timeless, there is this, it is wrong. Iti doshaha uktaha. Doshaha uktaha. The error has been already mentioned. What is the error? Moksha is timeless. And here, if the moksha is produced by karma, because the karma is supported by jnana, even if a person says, moksha is produced by karma, which has support of the jnanam, still that karma phalam, that mokshaha, becomes arabhyam, arabhyaha mokshaha. It's a produced moksha. It has a new beginning. And anything which has a beginning has what? Time-bound nature. Anityatvam. And what is desirable is eternal moksha, everlasting freedom, not the time-bound freedom. Therefore, there is error. This error has been already pointed out. Arabhyasya anityatvat, anityatvadi, anityatvat, ituktaha doshaha. Arabhyam has anityatvam. Anything which has begun, which has been begun, anything which has a beginning, anything produced newly, has a beginning. Having the beginning, it has an end also. It has anityatvam. Therefore, this defect has been already, the error has been already pointed out. Okay. Then, here Purvaka Pakshi will not leave his view. He comes with something else, some other idea. Vachanad arabhyapi nityaha. Vachanat arabhyapi nityaha eva iti chet. See, what is vachanat? See, Veda vachanat. As we have Vedic statement, as there is a Vedic statement. Not one, there are Vedic statements. Vedic statements. Vachanat. Arabhyaha api nityaha. Arabhyaha api nityaha. Even though moksha arabhyaha api nityaha eva. Even though moksha is produced the karma, even the moksha is something just begun, just been begun. Definitely states lost forever. The moksha having the beginning will last forever. Arabhyaha api moksha nityaha eva. How does he say that? Because Veda Vachanat, the Veda is not mentioned. Vachanam, he can say very boldly, only if there are Vedic statements. Veda Vachanat Arabhyaha api moksha nityaha eva. As Vedic statements themselves are stating that mokshaha even begin, even though moksha is begun, still moksha is timeless. Okay. If this is the view of the Pura Pakshi, then Shankara Bhagavatpada wants to give another answer. Eva iti ched. If this is what is the contention of the Pura Pakshi, Shankara Bhagavatpada has his own answer. What was the answer? We saw this also. No. Definitely not. Anything which has begun must have an end. This is the logic. This is the reasoning. If we say anything which has a beginning does not have an end, if we say, it's against the reasoning. Definitely anything which has a beginning will have an end. Now, again he says, jnapakatvat vachanasya. Vedic statements can only have, Vedic can only reveal what is there. Jnapakatvat vachanasya. That when Shankara Bhagavatpada says na, that na is very firm na. No, definitely not. Moksha, if moksha has a beginning, it will come to an end. Hach moksha is not desirable. Really speaking, moksha is not beginning at all. Because moksha, according to the Shastram, being the very nature of the timeless reality, moksha is also timeless. And timeless moksha cannot have a beginning. And anything begun definitely has an end. Therefore, no, there is error in Pura Pakshi's view. Again, he says, Vachanasya Jnapakatvat. Vachanasya Jnapakatvat is Veda Shastram. The Vedic statements have the status of being the revealers. Means, it only Jnapayati. It only reveals. Any Vedic statement only reveals. Revealing what? Revealing what is, whatever is exactly as it is. It does not. Why? Because Vedic statements serve as means of knowledge. Pramanam. What can a pramanam do? Pramanam can only reveal exactly whatever is. If you keep your eyes closed, there'll be darkness for you. If you keep your eyes open, when you use your eyes as a pramanam, eyes do not, your seeing power does not change the object. If there is light, it reveals light. If there is darkness, it reveals darkness. Pramanam can only reveal whatever is as it is. Any means of knowledge can only reveal the objects as they are. Pramanam cannot change. Your seeing power cannot convert the darkness into light, light into darkness. It cannot do anything. It can only just reveal as whatever is. Your hearing power can only reveal the sound as it is. You can't change the sounds. Similarly, even the Vedic statements, playing the role of a pramanam can only reveal what there is. It cannot change. Therefore, vachanasya jnapakatvatu, as Vedic statement, playing the role of a pramanam, have the status of being the revealer. It can only reveal things as they are, they cannot change. Again he says, vachanam nama. Vachanam nama. Yathabhutasya arthasya jnapakam. Very beautiful this is. Pramanam nama kim. Here vachanam means a word. Or a statement of words. What can a statement of words do when it plays the role of a pramanam, means of knowledge? Vachanam nama means pramanam nama yathabhutasya arthasya jnapakam. Yathabhutasya arthasya jnapakam. Very beautiful, isn't it? Jnapayati verb. Jnapakam is what? Adjective. Jnapakam. Pramanam is a jnapakam. Vachanam, the Vedic statements playing the role of pramanam is only a jnapakam. Jnapakam, it took the just the, that which reveals is a jnapakam. It only reveals. In Tamil, when you say jnapakam, we use a sense of a reminder. Jnapayati. Jnapayati, janati. The cause of this jnapayati. Janati knows. Jnapayati, it makes other person know. It reveals. Brings to light. Jnapayati. So we use the sense of reminding, isn't it? So here Vedic statement, playing the role of a pramanam, is not reminding actually here. It actually reveals. It's not reminding, it's only revealing. Yathabhutasya arthasya jnapakam. It's only the revealer of the object as it is. Revealer of anything as it is. Na avidyamanasya kartru. It is not the maker of what is not there. It is not the producer. Pramanam is not the producer of what is not there. Or the converter of what is not there. It is only a revealer of what is. Very, very beautiful sentence it is. Vachanam is equal to pramanam. Okay? Pramanam nama, vachanam nama. Yathabhutasya arthasya jnapakam na avidyamanasya kartru. Avidyamanasya kartru means what? Producer. Maker of what is not there. Or the converter of something into some, converter of something what is there into something which is not there. No. Avidyamanasya karta, kartruna. You must wonder why kartru not karta. Because vachanam is a neuter gender word. Isn't it? Therefore kartru. Avidyamanasya kartru means what? Na kartru. It is not the producer, maker of what is not there. It's only a revealer of whatever is exactly as it is. Therefore, what Vedic statements cannot reveal what is not there. They only reveal in Veda Shastram also as a pramanam, it can only reveal what is. It cannot produce something what is not there. Nahi vachana shatena api nityam arabhyate. Vachana shatena api nityam arabhyate. The nityam here is the eternal thing is not produced, cannot be produced. Even by hundreds of Vedic statements. Even the Vedic statement. Arabdham va arabdham va avinashi na bhavet. Na, that should go with arabdham va avinashi na bhavet. Vachanashatena api nityam na arabhyate. That na should go twice again. Vachanashatena api nityam na arabhyate. Vachanashatena api. How many ever statements are there? Even if there are hundreds of statements of Vedashastra, still, nityam, that which is timeless, eternal, cannot be produced, cannot have a beginning. Arabdham va avinashi na bhavet. And anything which has been begun, arabdham is a past passive participle. Arabdham, anything which has been begun, anything which has been produced, definitely cannot be indestructible. Avinashi na bhavet. So anything which has been begun will have an end. Anything which has been produced will definitely come to an end. It cannot last forever. Because that is the nature of anything which has been produced. So any product of any ritual, any karma, definitely has a beginning, it will have an end also. And moksha is not a product of karma. Even if Vedashastram says, it is against the reasoning. So when Vedashastram says something, we must really see where it is said, what is said, how it is said, what the context, everything must be seen, and the Vedic statements must be interpreted correctly. Is also the important thing. So he what he means here. Okay. Etena. Vidya karmanoho samhatayoho moksharambhakattvam pratyuktam. Yetena, by this, vidya karmanoho samhatayoho moksharambhakattvam mokshasya arambhakattvam moksharambhakattvam pratyuktam. So pratyuktam means what? Pratyukta means it has been refuted, negated. What has been negated? Etena means etena, by this statement, by this presentation of argument, vidya karmanoho samhatayoho moksharambhakatvam pratyuktam. The view of moksha having the beginning, moksha being produced as a result of combining knowledge and karma has been refuted. Samhatayoho moksha arambhakattam pratyuktam. What has been refuted here? Etena, by this argument, it has been refuted. What has been refuted? Arambhakatam. Mokshasya arambhakatam. Moksha having the status of being produced. The view of moksha having the status of being produced has been refuted. Moksha has a beginning. Moksha is produced. Moksha can be produced as a result of karma combined with the jnanam. This view has been refuted. Okay, now comes, and again, another view, a changed view of Purapakshi. Vidya karmani moksha pratibandha hetu nivartake iti ched. This is a new class, isn't it? Okay. Vidya karmani moksha pratibandha hetu nivartake. Iti chet. Iti chet means what? If this is the view. Iti chet means what? If this is the view. What is the view? Whose view? If this is the view of a Purapakshi, Shankara Prabhupada has an answer. And what is the view here? Moksha Pratibandha Hetu Nivartake means what? Vidya Karmani. With knowledge combined with the karma, Vidya, with knowledge and karma together. Become the remover. Knowledge and karma together become nivartakam, nivartayati. Like how jnapayati, jnapakam. It is here, nivartayati, nivartakam. It removes what? Removes pratibandha hetu. What is the hetu which obstructs the moksha? Mokshasya pratibandha. Pratibandha, moksha pratibandha. The obstructing factor of moksha. What is that which obstructs the moksha? What is the cause of the obstruction in attaining moksha? Pratibandha hetu is ajnanam. So moksha pratibandha hetu nivartake. Knowledge combined with the karma is capable of removing the cause, removing that which causes the obstruction in the attainment of moksha. So vidya karmani dual verb, therefore nivartake. In fact, vidya karmani being dual, the adjective also is in dual form. Nivartake, nivartakam, nivartake. Vidya karmani nivartake. Knowledge combined with the karma serves as a nivartakam, serves as the remover of the cause of obstruction in attaining moksha. If this is the view of a Purapakshi, then ask, Shankara Prabhupada has to give the answer. Okay. Again, na. Why should there be karma combined with jnanam, vidya? What is the hetu? Moksha pratibandha hetu is ajnanam. Mokshasya. Moksha pratibandha hetu is ajnanam. Ignorance is the cause of obstruction in attaining moksha. What obstructs a person from taking ownership of moksha as one's own surupam? What prevents? What obstructs? It is the ajnanam. Ajnanam is the moksha pratibandha hetu. Hetu means what? The cause. The cause of obstruction is pratibandhasya hetuhu, pratibandha hetuhu. Mokshaya or moksha prapto, pratibandha hetu is ajnanam, ignorance. And for what is which is the nivartakam? Ajnana nivartakam is moksha pratibandha hetu nivartakam. The remover of ignorance is the remover of the cause of obstruction to moksha. And what is that which can be the remover of ajnanam, ignorance? Only jnanam. Jnanam is the only moksha pratibandha hetu nivartakam. Moksha pratibandha hetu is ignorance, and jnanam is the only hetu, moksha pratibandha hetu nivartakam. Jnanam alone can remove the cause of obstruction to moksha. Jnanam itself is enough. There's no need for the karma to be combined with the jnanam. Then we are going to see here. But Shankaracharya really makes it very a lot beautifully explains here. Karma jnanam combined with the karma cannot be the remover of the obstruction. The cause of obstruction in the attainment of moksha. Why? It is karmanaha phalantara darshanat. Very interesting. Karmanaha phalantara darshanat. The answer has been already given. Jnanam itself is enough to resolve ajnanam. Ajnanam is the hetu, pratibandha hetu. Mokshasya pratibandha hetu, pratibandhasya hetu ajnanam. Therefore, mokshasya pratibandhasya hetu nivartakam only jnanam. Knowledge is the only remover of ajnanam, which is the cause of obstruction to moksha. Is enough. He could have said that, but he really gives proper answer. Karmanaha phalantara darshanat. He explains what are all the results which can be produced by karma. What can be the result of an action? The result of action can be of four types. And the moksha does not come under the category of any of the four types of results of actions. Let's look at this. Karmanaha phalantara darshanat. As we are seeing the different results of actions. Phalantara darshanat means what? As we are seeing, you know, as we are understanding that the karma produces different types of results. And what are those four different types of results? There are possible four types of results. Kani palantarani. Look at this. Utpattihi. Utpattihi. Or utpadanam means production. Utpatti is Srilinga Shabda. Equivalent noun is what? Utpadanam, producing or production. When you do something in agriculture, etc., the karma, we do a lot of activities and we produce. The production is the end result of doing some karmas. Agricultural products, manufacturing companies, they all produce. They're all products of different companies, we say. So production is the result of an action. One phalam. Then, samskaraha. We read the sentence fully. Utpatti samskara vikaraptayohi phalam karmanaha drishyate. Utpatti samskara vikaraptayohi phalam karmano drishyate. The result of karma is seen. Karmanaha phalam drishyate. Result of karma is seen in terms of utpattihi, production. Then samskara, if you break it, samskara, we break it samskaraha, so masculine noun. What is the feminine equivalent noun? Samskritihi. Utpattihi utpadanam. Samskritihi or samskaraha. Then vikritihi or vikaraha. I like the T because once I remember Puja Swamiji beautifully said this. We found all these feminine nouns. Okay. Utpattihi, samskritihi, vikritihi aptihi. Here we have utpattihi feminine noun, samskaraha masculine noun, vikaraha masculine noun, again aptihi feminine noun. You can say utpattihi samskritihi vikritihi aptihi. Or utpattihi samskaraha vikaraha aptihi. Now to put together utpatti samskara vikaraptayaha. Utpattihi cha samskaraha cha vikaraha cha aptihi cha. Together utpatti samskara vikaraptayohi phalam karmanaha drishyate. These are the four types of results seen as result of a karma. Utpattihi production. Okay. Samskritihi means what? Refinement. And here refinement also, we had two types of refinement. So moksha is not something newly produced. Therefore, moksha does not come under the category of newly produced. Newly produced means what? At result of an action. Okay. Then samskritihi means refinement. Refinement is always of something which is impure. Something which needs to be improved in quality, in quantity. The samskaraha. So, the samskriti also, the two types of samskaras. One is guna adana samskaraha. Guna adana samskaraha means what? By adding something, guna adana. By adding a virtue, by adding something, okay, with some refinement is done. Let me make it very clear. Guna adana samskaraha. Then dosha apanayana samskaraha. Do you remember this? I told you long ago. Dosha apanayana samskaraha. Removal of the defect. By removing the defect, removing the some unwanted, something becomes refined, purified, cleaned. By adding something, something becomes purified. If you wash the clothes, the dirt is removed. It becomes clean. It is very dirty cloth. You wash it, it becomes clean. This is dosha apanayana samskara. You scrape the walls, the dirt, all the walls. This is dosha apanayana samskara. Afterwards, you need iron it and keep it clean. Is guna adana, even not crushed, okay? It's a guna adana samskara. And after scraping the wall, you paint it. This is guna adana samskara. By adding something, giving something new, you bring it, you refine it. Make it look nice. And you purify it. So, see here, moksha being the very swarupma of the atma. Atma is ever of nature of absolute purity. Moksha is ever of nature of purity. The fullness of happiness, limitlessness, is the very nature of the reality. It's ever of the nature of purity. Purifying atma, purifying the reality is not possible. No purification is required for the atma. Atma is ever of the nature of absolute purity. For moksha, being the very nature of the absolutely pure atma, moksha does not come under the category of the result of action known as samskaraha, refinement. No. A samskritihi. Next. Vikritihi or vikaraha. Vikritihi means modification. Changing. So action can be done to convert one into something else. Vikritihi. You can work, do things. You can modify it into something else. Like that moksha is not something, moksha being the unchangeable. unchanging, unchangeable swarupam, intrinsic. Swarupam of the Atma is not changeable. Moksha does not come under the category of the result of action known as modification, vikritihi. Vikritihi is the result of an action. Samskritihi is samskar, result of an action. Utpatti is the result of an action. Similarly, aptihi. Aptihi means attainment. Aptihi also means reaching. Again, aptihi, attainment also. Something which is other than oneself, away from oneself, can be attained. If something is physically time-wise distant or spatially distant, it can be reached, can be attained. Away from oneself, other than oneself, can be attained or reached. It can be a place which can be reached in time. If it's something else which is other than oneself, which can be attained. Whereas moksha happens to be the very swarupam of the reality, Brahma or Atma. And the reality happens to be the very swarupam of every individual. Moksha is the very essential nature of every individual. It is not away from oneself, not other than one's own self. Therefore, moksha does not come under the category of the result of action. I was said to be aptihi, attainment or reaching. Utpatihi samskaraha vikaraha aptihi. These are the four types of results of actions. Therefore, utpatti samskara vikara apteha palam karmanaha drishyate. It is seen. This is the result of action seen by all of us. The sense, these are the results of actions. Utpatyadi pala viparitaha cha mokshaha. What about mokshaha? Mokshaha is absolutely different from all these four types of results of actions, the possible results of actions such as production, etc. Utpatti adi pala viparitaha cha mokshaha. Viparita means different. Mokshaha is absolutely different from viparita. It's completely different from the four types of results of actions such as production, etc. Therefore, what? Mokshaha cannot be attained as a result of an action. Moksha being already there as on Surupam, and moksha pratibandha hetu, the cause of obstruction to moksha being ignorance, jnanam alone is enough to resolve, to remove ignorance, the cause of obstruction. By removing the cause of obstruction, obstruction becomes removed. Obstruction is removed, moksha can be claimed. One can take ownership of moksha as one's own surupam, which is already there. Therefore, it is not possible, it's not necessary to combine karma with jnanam. Is it clear? Okay. Now, Purapakshi wants to say something else. What is his objection? We'll see here. Okay. Before I go there, let me tell you. There are statements in the Upanishads. We find some Vedic statements which talk about the benefit of performing karma along with the practice of meditation. This performance of ritual, specific rituals prescribed in the Karma Kanda, along with the practice of meditation, upasanam, so saguna brahma upasanam, ishvara upasanam, will produce some special result, a specific punyam, It's called adrishtam punyam. When a person performs a ritual, specific ritual prescribed in the Karma Kanda, and if he also practices the Saguna Brahma Upasanam as prescribed in the Upasana Kanda, combining these two, he earns unique punyam, adrishtam punyam. It's called Karma Upasana Samuchayaha. Karma Upasana Samuchayaha. Combining the performance of ritual, the practice of Saguna Brahma Upasanam. And such combination of karma with the meditation, karma and meditation, definitely produces a specific adrishtam punyam. And that punyam, the person who's earned such a punyam, when his paradha karma gets exhausted, enables him travel through after leaving the physical body, enables this jiva to travel through some shukla gati, where the person can attain, reach Brahmaloka. And it involves tremendous effort. It's not an easy joke. Brahma prayatna means Brahma loka prapti involves Brahma prayatna. Brahma prayatna means what? Tremendous effort. It is, even if how much a person makes efforts, there's always possibility of not becoming successful in one's effort. All one's effort can go waste also if somewhere something goes wrong. That's why it involves tremendous effort. If at all a person very carefully makes tremendous effort, and if he practices rituals appropriately as prescribed by the Shruti, as enjoined by the Shruti, if he also practices relevant to meditations, if a person earns punyam by combining karma with upasanam, then he'll be able to travel through Shukla Gatihi and he'll be able to reach Brahmaloka. To go to Brahmaloka, one must have earned punyam. And even the person who has earned such a punyam, if he performed ritual, practiced upasanam, having his focus always on attainment of moksha, not simply visiting Brahmaloka, then his karma and upasana becomes nishkama, karma nishkama upasana. Only such a person, a nishkama upasaka, nishkama karmi, when he goes to Brahmaloka, there's a possibility of attaining Brahma jnanam, atma jnanam, thereby attaining moksha, which is called krama muktihi, krama moksha. Only if a person is aspiring for moksha, then he can attain moksha in Brahmaloka. Even there he has to attain only jnanam for the attainment of moksha. Jnanam is moksha. The only difference is, instead of attaining jnanam here, he goes all the way to Brahmaloka by his tremendous effort. And there he attains jnanam, jnanam attains moksha. This is kama muktihi. Suppose the person's interest is simply interest only in visiting Brahmaloka, enjoying whatever pleasures, possible pleasures, heavenly pleasures there. If his interest, if he does not aspire for moksha, still his upasana and karma will be only sakama karma, sakama upasana. Therefore, he will go all the way there. He'll enjoy heavenly pleasures. When the punyam gets exhausted, he has to return into this world. There's no moksha. And such statements of Veda, which discuss the content, subject matter of traveling of the jiva after his death, traveling of upasaka after his death to this Brahmaloka, are said to be Gatishrutayaha. Gatishrutihi means the Vedic statement, Vedic sentences, which present the subject matter of the journey of the Jiva, who would have been Upasaka, who would have been performer of ritual along with the practice of meditation. Such Vedic statements, the Vedic statements which talk about the journey of the Upasaka after the death, is said to be Gatishrutihi. So there are many Gatishrutayaha which talk about the travel, the journey, the travel of the Upasaka, how he travels, which path he travels, which loka he reaches, how long does he there stay there, what all he enjoys there, and who is the one who goes to Brahmaloka, who attains moksha there, who comes back from there, etc. These are all the Gatishrutayaha. But here, karma upasana samuchyaha enables a person earn adequate abundance of punyam to be eligible only to travel through the Shukla Gatihi, to reach only Brahmaloka, not to attain jnanam or moksha. Okay. Even there, jnanam is required for the attainment of mokshaha. But going to Brahmaloka itself is taken to be the attainment of moksha by this Purapakshi. The Purapakshi who takes going to Brahmaloka as the attainment of moksha and enjoying some unique pleasures which cannot be enjoyed here in this world, he takes such enjoyment of pleasures to be attainment of moksha. Therefore he says, with this understanding, he says, Purapakshi presents his objection here. Gati Shrutehe Aapyaha Aapyaha Iti Chet. If it is said Mokshaha Aapyaha, Mokshaha is not Upadhyaha, Mokshaha is not Samskaryaha, Mokshaha is not Vikaraha, Moksha is not definitely a production, Moksha is not something produced, Moksha is not something, you know, as a result of refinement. Moksha is not even the modification, okay? But moksha is something apyaha. Moksha is something which can be reached, which can be attained. And what is the basis for him to say that? Gatishrutehe apyaha iti chet. If it is said, moksha is something which can be attained, reached by traveling from this loka, bhuloka, world of mortals to higher lokas. And what's the basis? There are Gatishrutayaha. From the Gatishruti, Gatishrutehe. Gatishrutehe. From the statements of Shruti, which discuss the journey of the Jiva, journey of the Upasaka after the death, it can be said the moksha is something to be attained, reached. And there are many shrutis, the Gatishrutayaha, Vedic statements which discuss this journey of Upasaka. First one is Surya Dwarena. Next is Tayor Taya urdhvam ayan, taya urdhvam ayan, ittevamadi gatishrutibhyaha, ittevamadi gatishrutibhyaha. From all these gatishrutis, the statements talking about the journey of a jiva, mokshaha prapyaha, mokshaha is something to be attained, reached. Moksha is an end to be reached, attained. It is chet if it is said. Okay, what are the shrutis? He Shankarabhagavatpada does not pass the complete mantras. He just says Suryadvarena. The Suryadvarena. Suryadvara means solar path or bright path. The Upasaka travels through the solar path, the bright path. Shukla Gatihi is Suryadvaram. Suryadvaram is equal to Shukla Gatihi. Suryadvarena, he travels through this path. And his path is something inexplicable, non-verifiable, matter for belief. But Shastram talks about it, so we accept it. And we have no clue about it, how it is and all. What is the Pramanam? Veda Shastram is the Pramanam. And who can have that experience? Only the person who travels through the path. And who is eligible to travel? Only was earned adequate punyam. How much punyam? He must have practiced upasanam, must have performed the rituals also, as prescribed in the Shastram, for long time throughout his life. He must have earned punyam. He alone is eligible. So, and this particular mantra is from Mundakopanishad. 11th mantra, the second section of the first chapter. We find this mantra. Okay. So, Suryadvarena, he goes. And how does he go there? You know, Suryadvarena, te virajaha prayanti yatra amrutaha bhavati. Suryadvarena, virajaha prayanti yatra amrutaha bhavanti. This is, okay, these people, by their own tapas. Tapas means their commitment to this disciplines of, particular discipline of karma and upasam. They finally, they earn punyam. After the prarabdha gets exhausted, they travel through Shukla Gatihi, Suryadvaram, and they become purified also. They're purified, adequately purified, to be eligible to travel. Then they reach Brahmaloka. There, only Virajaha Prayanti, only people, purified people go, there be Yatra Amrutaha Bhavanti. There they become immortal. They become immortal means they attain, after going there, they attain Jnanam. It is Jnanam which enables them to become Amrutaha. That in Krama Muktihi. This is one thing. Then, there's also another mantra. We can say, Taya urdhvam ayan, going upwards by the Sushumna Nadi. Where the mantra talks about Sushumna Nadi, and saying that in the mantra it is said, the Upasakaha, finally, the Parvata gets exhausted, they're able to withdraw their Sukshma Shariram, the pranas, and they're able to, you know, travel through the Sushumna Nadi, go upwards and breaking open the Brahmarandram, then they travel through Shukla Gatihi, etc. The information is given. And this mantra, Taya Urdhamayan, this mantra comes where? In Kathopanishad, which we saw during our previous study, the Kathopanishad. The 16th mantra, the third section of the second chapter. Okay. And going there, a person attains Krama Muktihi. If he aspires for moksha, which is now Krama Muktihi. There also he said, Taya urdhvam ayan amrtattvam eti. Taya sushum naya nadya urdhvam ayan amrtattvam eti. This person attains Krama Muktihi. Okay, this is the two mantras he quotes. And he says what? Iti eva madhi. Eva madhi, where there's so many gatishrutayaha. Gati shrutihi itself means the shruti which talks about the gati, the travel of the upasaka. Eva madhi gati shruti bhyaha. From such gati shruti statements. And from such statements of known as gati shrutayaha. Mokshaha prapyaha. Moksha is something which can be attained. Moksha is an end which can be reached, which can be attained. Iti chet, if it is said. Then Shankara Bhagavatpada has to give an answer. What is his answer? Please make a note. This answer for people of all other cultures who hold on to the view going to heaven, isn't it? Is attainment of moksha. They have all people who hold on to the view of going to heaven as an ultimate end. But this is the answer. We don't need to go and refute their view. Understand here itself. So our own Vaidikas had this view of going to heaven, the Brahma Loka, as the moksha, ultimate goal. No. So here the answer is given. Earning punyam by practicing meditation along with the performance of ritual, be eligible to travel through Shukla Gatihi or Surya Gatihi, reaching Brahma Loka, okay, is not the attainment of moksha. Again, moksha is not something, not at all apyaha. Moksha na apyaha. Moksha is not attainable, reachable. Why? Na means what? Na moksha na apyaha. No, moksha is not attainable. Na moksha na apyaha. You have to make your sentence complete. Na moksha na apyaha. Kimatta moksha na apyaha? Because sarvagatatvat. The first reason is what? Sarvagatatvat. See why the answer is always given fifth case. Because the reason is, whenever the reason is given, hetvarte panchami vibhaktihi. The fifth case is used always to present the reason. Sarvagatatvat. See, moksha has the status of being all-pervasive. Means moksha is all-pervasive. Why moksha is all-pervasive? What is moksha? Moksha means freedom. Freedom implies fullness. Fullness means limitlessness. Limitlessness means infinitude, which is the very inseparable, unchangeable, swarupam, nature of the absolute reality, abstract reality, the Atma, Brahma. And being all pervasiveness is the nature of the reality. And limitlessness is also what? Therefore, this fullness, moksha, is also of the nature of all pervasiveness. They say moksha is of the nature of all pervasiveness means limitlessness itself implies what? All pervasiveness. Sarvagatatvat. This absolute reality implied by the term Atma or Brahma is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Again, Gantrubhi cha ananyatvat. Gantru is what shabda? Rikarantaha pullingaha gantru shabda. Namadi case ganta. Third case will gantrubhi. Gantrubhi cha ananyatvat. The Atma, the absolute reality implied by the term Atma or Brahma is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Then, ananyatvat, because of the non-separateness of the Atma, from the very person's aspiring for jnana, aspiring for moksha. Here, gantra means that the person who travels also. Gantra bhicha ananyatvat. Moksha, Atma being already non-separate from the traveler, every jiva, the traveling jiva. Gantra bhi ananyatvat, as his absolute reality, is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Being all pervasive, as reality is non-separate from, because of its non-separateness from the traveling jivas. Gantra bhicha ananyatvat. Two reasons are given. Sarvagatatvat Gantrabihi ananyatvatcha. Akashadi karanatvatu, third reason. And this akashaha is all pervasive. Akasha is relatively all pervasive. And what about Atma? Atma, the absolute, abstract, formless reality implied by the term Atma is all pervasive of the all pervasive space. All pervasive of the all accommodative space. Isn't it? Sarvagatatvat. Akashadi karanatvat. Even Akasha being, Akasha means space. The very word Akasha is a beautiful word. Asmantat kashateti Akasha. There's no place where space does not shine. That which shines everywhere is Akasha. Asmantat kashateti Akasha. The Bhagavan is Paramakasha. One of the names of Bhagavan is Paramakasha. No, Parakasha. Why? The one who is space is object of knowledge. Time is object of knowledge. And everything else in this world exists within the realm of time and space. Time and space themselves have their existence only in the reality. Therefore, this absolute reality, abstract, formless reality is pervasive of time and space. So pervasive, all pervasive of the all pervasive space, or accommodative of all accommodative space. Therefore, what? Absolutely all pervasive is the reality. Space is relatively all pervasive. From the standpoint of the entirety of the objective universe, space is all pervasive. But from the standpoint of Atma, Atma is absolutely all pervasive. Therefore, Akashadi karanatvat sarvagatam brahma. This absolute reality, abstract formless reality, which is ever of the nature of limitlessness, fullness. Infinitude is implied with the term Brahma. That Brahman is what? Sarvagatam. The reality is all pervasive. How absolutely all pervasive? As the cause of even the all pervasive space, and being all pervasive, being non-separate from, remaining as the very truth of every individual jiva, remaining as very essence of swarupa of all the individual jivas, is being non-separate from every traveler jiva also, because of all pervasiveness. Mokshaha is not apyaha. Why? Mokshaha and Brahma are not two different things. Brahmaiva moksha, mokshaha brahmaiva. Understand? Mokshaha means freedom. Freedom implies what? Limitlessness. Limitlessness is what? The very nature, swarupam of the reality. Mokshaha, being free from all limitations, is the very nature of reality, Brahma. Brahman, attainment of moksha is nothing but attainment of Brahma. Brahman can never be attained. Moksha being the swarupam of Brahma, discovering Brahma is discovering freedom. Discovering freedom is what? Attaining freedom. There's no other way of attaining, reaching moksha. Okay, Brahman cannot be attained. Atma cannot be attained. Why? Oh, reality is ever of the nature of all pervasiveness. How all pervasive it is? Akashasya api karanatvat sarvagatam is absolutely all pervasive. Being all pervasive of even the all pervasive space as a cause of the space. And being all pervasive, it is non-separate from, it is the say one and only reality is there as the swarupam of all the individual jivas. Therefore, it is non-separate from the traveler jiva, all the travelers, the jivas which are traveling towards other lokas also. Therefore, moksha being non-separate from one's own self, moksha being also a very essential nature, it can never be attained. And what is the cause that obstructs the cause obstructing the moksha is ajnanam. For moksha na apyaha, you can never attain yourself. You only, that's what a discovery. It has to be discovered. Brahma avyatiriktaha cha sarve vijnanatmanaha. Brahma avyatiriktascha sarve vijnanatmanaha. The beauty is the absolute reality, abstract formless reality. Brahma or Atma itself is moksha. Moksha and reality are not two different things. They are one and the same. Agnihi agnehe aushyam. Agnehe aushyam and agnihi are not two different things. The heat of the fire and the fire are not two things. Sun and prakash, surya and prakash are not two different, inseparable. Similarly here, fullness of happiness, fullness, limitlessness, implied by the term freedom, is the swarupma of the reality Brahma. Being all pervasive, being limitless is the very nature of the reality. Therefore, discovering the absolute reality Brahma, obtaining as one's own self, is discovering the freedom. Therefore, it is not apyaha. Moksha is not an apyaha. Okay. He says, Brahma avyatiriktascha sarve vijnana atmanaha. Sarve vijnana atmanaha. Sarve vijnana atmanaha. All these vijnana atmanaha. Vijnana atmanaha, people endowed with the conscious mind. Means we're all, especially the living beings. The conscious beings are vijnanatmanaha. Vijnanatmanaha sarve. Even nothing is vatiriktam. Nothing is separate from Brahma. Not only, nothing is separate from Brahma. Everything is non-separate from Brahma. Everything enjoys existence in Brahman only. Especially vijnanatmanaha. All living conscious beings are non-separate from Brahma. Because the reality in terms of consciousness is ever there as the very swarupam of every individual being. Ataha na apyaha mokshaha. Therefore moksha is not at all attainable. Katam, there's no spatial distance. There's no time distance between moksha and one's own self. Therefore, moksha is not an end, a destination to be attained, to be reached. Okay. Gantuhu anyate vibhinnam desham prati bhavati gantavyam bhavati. Gantuhu anyat desham prati gantavyam bhavati. Gantuhu vibhinnam desham prati gantavyam bhavati. Another place which is different from the place where the traveler is, another, and anything which is other than, which is other than the traveler, a place or thing which is other than the traveler, which is away from the traveler, which is different from the traveler, becomes something to be attained, something to be reached. Gantuhu anyat desham gant prati gantavyam bhavati. The place which is away from the place where the traveler is something to be attained. one needs to travel towards that place. And anyat desham, if it's something other than oneself, then that there's one needs to travel towards that place. Nahi yena eva avyatiriktam yat tat teneva gamyate. What does it mean? Yenaiva avyatiriktam. That from which, that which is non-separate from oneself. Yat tat teneva na gamyate. That which is non-separate from oneself cannot be attained, cannot be reached. Yenaiva avyatiriktam. Yat yenaiva avyatiriktam. That which is non-separate from oneself. Tat tenaiva na gamyate. That cannot be reached or attained by that person. It's already, it is their own sorupam. It is non-separate. Moksha, which has been searched for, being non-separate from every individual, it can never be attained, reached, something to be discovered. This is the answer Adishiva Bhagavatpada gives. And in support of this, he also presents some beautiful quotations from the Taittiriya Upanishad, also from Bhagavad Gita. How this reality, see, mokshaha and absolute reality, Brahma, are identical, one and the same. Mokshaha is the very intrinsic, inseparable sorup of the reality. Reality being one's own self, moksha is one's own sorup. Therefore, it cannot be attained. That is why it is said, we have anupravesha shrutihi. In Taittiriya Upanishad, we are going to see, when we are going to enjoy this Brahmandavalli, we will see something called anupravesha shrutihi. Anupravesha shrutihi means the shruti statement, Upanishadic statement, where just to help us understand that Brahman is all pervasive and always there, available for recognition as one's own self. Upanishad says that this Brahma, having created this universe, entered into this universe. Exactly like what? We build a house and we go and live inside the house, isn't it? In the same way, okay? Just example. Don't search the example here. What is conveyed here is that Brahman is non-separate from oneself. To state this as anupravesha shrutihi. Tadu anyat. Tade ananyatva prasiddhescha. Tade means tasya ananyatva prasiddhescha. As there is popular understanding that absolute reality has non-separateness. Every individual is non-separate from. Brahman is non-separate from every individual. Brahman is there as the very truth of every individual. Therefore, tadi ananyatva prasiddhescha. There's a prasiddhi. Prasiddhi means what? There's a well-known understanding, popular understanding. This fact is very well-known, popular. Prasiddhi is there. Prasiddhi of what? Ananyatva prasiddhi. See, every individual jiva is non-separate from the absolute reality. The non-separateness of the individual from its source, the absolute reality, is very well known. So it is said, tat srishtva tad eva nupravishat. Tat srishtva tad eva nupravishat. Tat srishtva, that Brahma, having created this universe, Brahman itself entered into this universe. Brahman as Ishvara, having created this universe, entered into this universe. Tadeva anupravishatu. This statement is mentioned just to say the creation is non-separate from the creator. There is no creator other than Brahma. The Brahman is non-separate from everything here that is here. Then, apart from that, we have a Smriti example, also Bhagavad Gita example is given here. Kshetrajnam chapi mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharat. See, kshetram means anything and everything known comes under the category of kshetram. The entire body, mind, sense complex, anatma is kshetram. And kshetrajnya, the knower of the kshetram. Knower of the kshetram is distinct from the known kshetram, but not at all distant from the known kshetram. Distinct but not distant. Kshetrajnam chapi mam vidhi. Iti eva madhi shruti smriti shatebhyah. Shankaracharya says, I have only present two examples here. Iti eva madhi shruti smriti shatebhyah. We have from hundreds of Shruti, Smriti statements, we know very well what is it. We understand very well this Brahma is non-separate from the universe. Everything in his creation. Therefore, Brahman being the very swarup of everything, every being, every individual, this absolute reality is non-separate from every individual jiva. Ajnani jiva or jnani jiva. Doesn't matter. A reality, Brahma, is non-separate from the whole cosmos. All the beings, especially all the vijnanatmanaha. Non-separate. We understand. So what does it mean here? Oh, I'm going to stop here. Okay, we'll see tomorrow. The rest. So what is the idea? Think here. The absolute, abstract, formless reality is ever of the nature of limitlessness, fullness, which itself is happiness. And being with Swarupam, being all pervasive, there's never a time moksha, the fullness is not there. It is there always as one's own Swarupam. Because reality is there, being all pervasive as one's own Swarupam. That is why it can never be attained as a destination, as an end. Something to be discovered, not to be attained. All that we need is only jnanam, unmixed with any karma. Knowledge by itself independently is enough for the attainment of moksha. We'll see tomorrow. Okay? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.